You're listening to The Art of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic. I forgot again.
What's going on with you?
I don't know.
You know what's happening?
What?
You're watching me try to cue up this music, and you should be paying attention to your pledge allegiance.
I know.
Okay, try it again.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome, and good night, folks.
See you later.
Okay, bye, alligator, and see you when the moon turns green and the cows come home.
Okay. Well, folks, let's go right straight down to Phoenix with Frank for the Metal Report. Good evening, Frank.
Good evening, Bill.
How are you?
Not too bad. Considering that I finally got out of my house, finally got it over with, closed the rest of it, so I was able to get those assets transferred in the metal, which I was very happy about.
Oh, well, good.
As just moving is tedious, trying to find a place to store all the stuff that you acquire after long periods of time in one location.
Tell me about it. All my life, I wanted one home and one place, and I've moved about an average of every 2.5 years,
yep.
Right on clockwork from the time I was born until just a few years ago.
Now, it sounds like you were a military child.
You got it. And not only that, but military after I was a child.
Okay. Well, the markets have been surprisingly quiet given all the things that are going on out there. Not just the stuff in Montana and the rest of it, although that is very important and people should be paying attention to it as to how it's going to affect things internally here. But, you know, the political situation, the rest of it, nothing's changed. But the markets have been surprisingly quiet. Gold had made a strong showing early in the week and started to close above 400. Even though it was minor, it was closing above 400. And then today it just got beat back down pretty hard, down to close just above 397. We came across an article basically outlining part of why we saw gold go from 416 down to just below 400. The central banks of Belgium dumped 30% of their reserve holdings, 6.5 million ounces. But the important thing about that is the market just sucked it right up. Whatever they throw at it, it just takes it right up and comes right back. So that's real indicative of underlying strength there. So there's a lot of people I talk to, gold's going down to 350, and I don't know where they come up with some of this stuff, but if you look at the facts, you know, it is just really strong right now. What I thought was very interesting is the discussion, though, of wanting to invest Social Security Trust Fund money in the stock market for a better return. That is some long-term implications. Some, personally, I believe are good.
Well, I got to stop you right here, Frank, because there is no Social Security Trust.
Well, I know. That's the point.
And they can't take Social Security money and put it in the market out of a trust. First, there isn't a trust. Second, they can't separate the Social Security money from the money in the general fund because it's all mixed together.
That's what that's all part and parcel of the deception. I don't even think there's any money there anyhow.
Well, you may be right about that.
Whatever they state, this would be a real convenient way to say, oh, we lost it to market risks, sorry, and then get on with things. Because the bottom line, they cannot admit that it's all gone, that it's not a viable entity, because that's what ties people to the system and Social Security. And if it were, they would be, in essence, in breach of trust if that fact were known. So it appears that they're coming up with something that would give them the ability to basically deny that anything was ever wrong, and everything just kind of evaporated with the market whenever the market does decide to evaporate. It's just, I don't like, it's just, why would they state this? Why are they pushing this out in the news? I know what you're saying, and that's the way it really is, but why the deception? What are they up to? There's obviously something up their sleeve.
Well, if they want to, everybody knows Social Security's in trouble. It's no secret. They haven't held that back. But they're telling people the market's doing so good, they want to put Social Security funds in the market, and then when the market crashes, they'll be able to tell people there's no more money, period. period. You don't get
anything. Exactly. When there's no, I don't believe, like I said, and I think a lot of other people don't either, that there's any money there, period. It's in so much debt, it's in so much trouble, that this would be a nice way to just kind of like shuffle it under the rug and say, oh, it's just, we lost it to the, you know, when the stock market crashed. That's one possibility. Like anything else going on, there's many scenarios, but I find it very troubling that they want to do that, that they would even bring it forward. But some things to watch. It's definitely something to watch. And, again, as quiet as things are, there's no reason for it to be this quiet, really and truly. And it's the Dow, the basic New York Stock Exchange. It's been just in a very narrow trading range, not really going anywhere, with moderate volume. So, that's, given all the gains we've had and the rest of it, something's not quite right here, and I can't quite put my finger on it, and unfortunately, we won't have any information until well after the fact as to what's really going on.
You want me to put my finger on it for you?
Yeah, I'm listening.
April the 19th.
I have to agree.
Nobody's going to do anything until they find out what's going to happen on April the 19th.
Yeah.
It's right around the corner. And the government's been playing this up for a year. Now they're really hitting it hard.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to believe that that's part of the agenda of this thing in Montana. They waited until it was close to April the 19th to create this incident. The president will be pointing at the Freeman and the incident in Montana and pointing to the anti-terrorism legislation, which is in the Senate. And they will be trying their very best to get some stupid militia group to do something that will justify all the things that they want to do.
Exactly. You know, and what people need to realize, and a lot of people don't, is that all conversations are monitored through NSA's computers, and they'll catch on to certain keywords, and they'll get somebody to listen in on it. And even though they cannot do anything legally with this information, they still do it through various treaties with Great Britain and other nations, and in essence, the sharing of intelligence. But what they find in listening to conversations are people that are predisposed to behave in a certain fashion, such as these people in Montana, and are able to play these people like fiddles and just box them into a position that suits the agenda very nicely. And these people fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. It'd be so nice if people would wake up and stop being so, you know, just lacking in thought process and think things through. We'd all be a lot better off, wouldn't we?
Yeah, but I've...
Oh, you tell me about it every night.
Don't get me started.
But, you know, we are in for some interesting times. We are in interesting times, and take advantage of it where it's at right now. I'm glad I was able to. I was sweating it. I was watching gold go up, creeping up. I was watching all this other situation go up, and they kept delaying my, you know, the closing. Well, no, we're supposed to get it today. Well, it'll be tomorrow. No, it'll be tomorrow. Finally, it came. It's like, thank you, and boom, right in the middle. Then a little bit for scope and a scope mount and some other things that I've been waiting to get accomplished, but... You know, at least I was finally able to get it done, and I'm very happy about that.
Great. Did you get a shepherd?
Pardon?
Did you get a shepherd?
No. What I've gotten is the, I can't pronounce it properly, the Collies, the German scope. It's got a deep V range-finding reticle on it for 308. The shepherd is it's an excellent one, but I decided to go for the Collies with the equipment that I have. I think it suits it a little bit better.
Great.
With what I'm doing.
I was just curious.
Yeah, the Shepherd scope, though, is an excellent scope. There's somebody out there, well, actually, Springfield Armory, the government model scope that we talked about when I was up there. The Springfield Armory factory is refurbishing some of those, and they're a smoking deal. They're under $300, and that's an excellent scope, but it is pretty much only for 308. The way the reticle is etched, it's pretty much designed for 308. The Shepherd, on the other hand, you can order for a multitude of calibers. You give them your trajectory, you know, your anticipated trajectory, and they will, you know, cater the reticle to your gun, which is a nice feature to have.
Yeah, there are computer programs that you can figure out that out on.
And then, you know,
if you know the powder and the load and the...
You give them those numbers, and they do it on the reticle, so all you got to do is hold right there, and away you go. It's a real nice setup. The only problem we've encountered is trying to find somebody to deal with them down here, even down here in Phoenix. it was easier to get government model scopes than to find somebody who handles shepherds.
Yeah, well, there's another problem with that too, Frank, is that once you've done it, you're stuck with that load,
mm-hmm.
that bullet in that weight, that powder, and that rifle. And that's it.
Well, yeah, that's true. For me, that's,
and there's nothing wrong with that if you can fulfill that supply and don't.
And that's why I personally like to run a 308. My anticipated area of operation is going to be limited in ranges. Maximum 500-600 yards. The 308 will do just nicely at those ranges. Otherwise, the terrain features and the rest of it, inhibit anything further than that. So it'll, the 308 will do just fine for me and where I anticipate being, where you're at. There's no place to hide, Bill. It's all that flat land. You need that 375. You've got to be able to reach out.
Oh, that's not true. You've
got those trees right behind you. But
you must have been looking in the wrong direction.
You have those trees behind you, but, boy, you got a lot of flat plain there.
Oh, you must, like I said, you must have been looking in the wrong direction.
Well, it's not the direction I would run to the trees, and they weren't all that far.
No, they're just hop, skip, and a jump. Not even a jump.
But, that's a nice area where you're at.
Yeah.
Really nice area. Nice people, nice and quiet.
And I don't run. I just sort of amber along and take my time.
Well, hey, you draw less attention to yourself when you run. And that's a fact. That's one thing that people don't think about. When you look conspicuous, you are conspicuous. And moving quickly will usually tag you as a problem. This time and do it nonchalantly, you'll get through things just fine.
Well, do you have any parting words for our listening audience?
Actually, let's call it Frank's tip of the day. Now that y'all got your good quality boots and they're all broken in, replace the laces with parachute cords and make sure you have extra length available. Not only do they make nice prussic flings or prussic knots if you have to climb out of a situation up a rope, but they're also very convenient for a certain escape and evasion maneuver that I would like to talk to you about one-to-one, because I don't want to go on the radio on a massive level, because then they will be able to counter it rather easily. But right now, it's one of those things that just eludes them. It's real simple, but you pretty much need the paracord to accomplish it.
Okay.
So you'll be able to talk about it at one of your conventions.
Okay, you got plenty of newsletters?
Pardon? No, we're still working on the same newsletter. Dave Bradshaw is working on a new excerpt from Franklin Sanders' Money Changer on the rubber yardstick, as it's called. He's going to put together the white paper. That should be happening very shortly.
Great. Okay, thank you, Frank.
All right, you have a good evening.
Call folks, 1-800-289-2646. Talk to Frank. If he's not available, talk to anybody there. But call. Make sure that you do. You need some real money. I mean real money, not that phony, funny stuff you've got in your pocket that looks like it came off a Monopoly board.
Bring it on!
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper. I was wondering, could you give me a fax number? I'd like to fax you something very important.
You're on it.
Pardon me? You're... Oh, that is the fax number?
I've only said it about 5 million times.
I'm very sorry, Mr. Cooper.
The call-in line is the fax number when we're not on the air.
Thank you, sir.
And I always take the fax offline about 30 minutes before the broadcast, and it doesn't go back on until about 30 minutes after.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578 is the number. We'll talk about what's going on out there, wherever you are. 520-333-4578. Is the number. I've got a whole bunch of stuff here, ladies and gentlemen, that is pretty interesting. There was, let me see, in U.S. News and World Report on December the 4th, 1995, there was an article called "In the Shadow of Ruby Ridge, a Standoff Between the Montana Freeman and the Federal Government Threatens to Explode." Well, there never was a standoff, and there isn't really a standoff right now. It's not a siege. It's just a continuation of the same old status quo that has been in existence for the last 2 years. There have been warrants out for these people, and they have refused to come in, and the sheriff, not wanting any bloodshed, has refused to go out and serve the warrants. And now it's approaching April the 19th, and the administration needs the publicity to push through the anti-terrorism bill. They also love for some militia or group of people to do something really stupid right around this time of year when emotions are running high over the Oklahoma City bombing. And, of course, the Freemen were all about private property and sovereignty and individual rights and common law and all of those things that the New World Order just is not going to permit to exist, ladies and gentlemen. It is politically incorrect. When they started this thing up there, we didn't know exactly what it was all about or how many people were involved. We knew that they hit people in Phoenix, they hit people in Montana, they hit some people in California, they hit some people in South Florida. And from what we understand, talking to sources within law enforcement, they're going after all of these people who have been filing liens and writing checks and all of that kind of stuff. But they specifically targeted the Freeman, knowing that those people aren't going to come out. And as I said, April the 19th is right around the corner. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper, you mentioned scopes. I would like to tell you that I've got an older Ruger 77 Varmint in 308 with a Shepherd P2 on it, and I smoked the $2,000 rigs with the Mark IV Leopolds.
Yeah, I smoked the $2,000 rigs with my Tasco World Class.
It's not too hard if you, like they say, it's not the equipment, it's the jerk behind the trigger.
That's exactly right. It has nothing to do with the scope, it is the shooter. I am not a good marksman with a pistol, but I am one of the best you'll ever find with a rifle, have been since I was a young boy.
And last summer was the first time I've shot in competition at that ranges, out to 600, and I did, I consider myself, consider what I did excellent. There is a company out there that makes a two-power magnifier that makes it on a Shepherd scope to double the magnification. It's advertised in Shotgun News on occasion, and I think the company is called Atagua, A-T-A-U-G-U-A.
What would that take it to, 20?
Yes, sir. Double. The standard Shepherd runs the from 3 to 10. It would take it from 6 to 20. I don't know how the reticle would work inside of it, but it would give you the magnification to clarify your targets at a much greater range.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's out there interested, they might want to look into that. But I definitely highly recommend a Shepherd scope. And also another thing is, you don't have to fuss with with the dials on it to do the range finding because it's already in there. You get on target now, and everybody else has to dial it in and all that other garbage. It's better to get out there right now than it is to perhaps miss your shot.
That's right.
That's about all I have to say. You do have an excellent program. I do enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
And thank you for your service, Mr. Cooper.
You're welcome.
And, one more thing. Tell Pooh she's safe. She don't have to worry about none of those socialist scumbags out there.
Oh,
they're all waiting for them.
Pooh's not worried about it. Pooh can take care of herself. And if she can't, I can take care of her. And if I can't, her mother can. And if we can't, we get a whole community of neighbors around here who would take great umbrage at anyone hurting that little girl. So we're not worried about it.
And if that one jerk likes toast, well...
You're talking about his name is Kurt Lochner.
We know how to serve it.
Yeah. Thank you for calling. Yeah, his name is Kurt Lochner, ladies and gentlemen. He lives up in the east northeast coast somewhere. He is a self-confessed FBI and ADL informant, agent provocateur. He interrupts a lot of radio broadcasts. He used to try to interrupt this one on a regular basis. We called him Poopy Diapers. We have identified him. We have located him. We know who he is, where he is, what he's doing, everything. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Bill. This is Virginia over here in Texas. This might sound like a trivial question, but I've been wondering about covenant communities for some time. Do you have an opinion on that?
Covenant communities?
Yeah.
What exactly are you talking about?
Well, I've heard about them where that all the believers or certain groups would go and live in a community together, like say out in the woods somewhere, and supposedly be away from the rest of the mad crowd. It's sort of like a safe place?
Well, I would have to, I can't comment on a blanket thing like that because I know that there are some people who get together for survival reasons, knowing what is coming.
Uh-huh.
They're good patriots. They'll fight for freedom. It's a survival thing with them. I know other people who do it because it's their religion and they get together with people of their particular religious persuasion. And they don't want anybody from any other religion coming and messing with them. And then there's people like the Freemen, and there's all kinds of groups. So you can't make a blanket statement about these people, and I won't do it.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello.
Some of them are good, honorable people. Some of them, who knows, and some of them definitely I don't think are. But that's, you know, without knowing exactly who you're talking about and being able to study them, I can't make a statement off the cuff like that. Okay, folks, I have an article in my hand, ex-dentist arrested and raided in counterfeit banknote case. In the article, it says, let me see, he's been holding seminars on how to make counterfeit checks. And this guy was accused of associating with him, and that's Leroy Schweitzer. This guy was Dr. Warren, arrested in Phoenix. So you see, it's not just Montana. Montana's getting the news, but it's happening all over the country. It's going to continue to happen. And they're just after, right now, I mean, they'll be after other people at other times, but right now they're after these people who are loving liens and writing these checks. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Michelle from Oklahoma.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Hi. I wanted to talk to you about adventures with the news media.
Oh, good. Give it to us. Sock it to me.
Okay. Well, I had a call this morning from one of the local newscasters from our ABC affiliate in Oklahoma City, and she wanted to talk to me about the definitions of malicious. And her main problem was that more and more groups are appearing on their little limited horizon, calling themselves malicious, and we'd put out a press release the other day saying that the Freemen were not. And she wanted to know how you could tell the difference.
Well, the Freemen have never claimed, number one, to be a militia. And if they hadn't separated themselves and denied the authority of the state, then if the militia had been called up by the governor, they would certainly have to muster as members if they're in the age group under the law.
Right. Well, I told her that I think it was David Trotman, one of the Trotman sons, had been on CNN, and he'd been on the local shortwave Patriot radio program saying that the Freemen were not the militia. The Freemen had said they didn't want any part of the militia, and they don't want any of the militia messing with them.
That's true.
And I also reiterated to her that the Freemen, having set up their own little country, were in a state of insurrection against the United States of America, and that set them outside of the set of constitutional laws and state laws under which we live. And so they can't claim constitutional rights. They're outside of those. And they can't be a militia under those conditions.
Yes. In fact, one of their tenets, one of the reasons they call themselves freemen, is that they believe that when the Constitution was executed, it created a corporate state in conjunction with the states, and took away the sovereign rights of the individuals and of the states. And so they claim that they're outside of all of that. They don't even recognize the Constitution for the United States as being any kind of authority over them.
Well, we can't live like that.
Well, we can't. Maybe they can. I admire anyone who professes a belief and takes a stand based upon those beliefs, as long as they're not hurting anyone else. But you have to understand that when you do that, you also have to take the consequences and the responsibility that goes along with it. And anyone who does that, I said it, a couple of years ago, when the Freemen were doing some things up there, and then later when they got arrested for going into the courthouse with a weapon or whatever it was, I forget the, don't take me verbatim here, because they got arrested in a courthouse, and I'm not sure now exactly what happened, although we covered it pretty extensively back then. I said then, sooner or later, when you put yourself in that position, in direct opposition to the powers that exist, sooner or later, they have to come after you, and they will.
Well, I did express to this gal the fact that it would be extremely difficult for us to live in a country with a multiplicity of judicial systems, which was an issue that you touched on last night.
Yes.
And, of course, she agreed with that and everything. And what was causing, what's causing me some problems are the alleged attitudes of the neighbors of the ranch or farm that's adjoining the Freeman property, where they're saying, well, if the feds won't bring them out, we're going in and we'll try to do it peaceably, and if they won't come out, we'll take them out. Of course, we don't want that. Then there was that news flash on the subscriber list about the Michigan militia going in support.
Yeah, I'm going to read that statement by Norm Olson later in the broadcast.
Yeah, and we've had Viking International Radio telling all the militia to go out there, and I don't personally, my opinion is, I don't think that's a very good idea at this stage.
It's not a good idea at all, period, unless we see another Waco or Ruby Ridge taking place. Then we're forced to. It's our duty.
Right. Well, we haven't seen that developing yet.
No, they're doing everything with restraint. They have lawful warrants. They're trying to execute them in a decent manner. And one of my tenets is that if these people are right, they should be able to prove it in court.
Correct.
And if the United States federal court does not have, or circuit court does not have, jurisdiction over them, if they challenge that jurisdiction in a lawful manner, they should be able to win. If they can't win initially, they can always appeal it to a higher court. They can take it all the way to the Supreme Court. And I have never seen anything go to the Supreme Court that was decided on against the law. I have seen that happen in the lower courts, where they will intentionally go against the law to get their way against someone that they don't like, or they consider to be politically correct, incorrect, I should say, and on the basis that most people will not have the money or the time or the ability to affect a successful appeal. So And in many cases, that's true. But
well, this thing has become just excessively propagandized here in Oklahoma. Well, as you can well imagine, with all the preparations for the different memorial things of the bombing going on, and anytime they can flash the flag militia in front of the public, they do so. And I've been doing backflips to try to keep those flags from being totally negative. And I just got to thinking, you know, what I was telling this gal on the phone this morning is, okay, let's say you've got a group and they want to call themselves a militia, and you go and you interview their public information officer, assuming they even have one, right?
Right.
And you ask them under what authorization they exist, under what law they exist, and so forth and so on. And those militias, if they're legitimate, ought to be able to tell you. In essence, are just taking the law into their own hands and acting like vigilantes. These guys don't have a clue what's going on. And if they're operating outside of the law, we've got a problem. If they're inside the law, then no matter what comes against them, if they stick it out, they'll be able to stand up for themselves in court and present their case logically, rationally, legally, and survive that experience. It doesn't all have to be everything is a force of arms.
That's correct.
And it's just getting really a little bit ridiculous out here. It's making my job very, very difficult for some of these groups calling themselves militias who don't know what their legal standing is in the law. She kept telling me about the free men calling themselves a militia. I said, they're not calling themselves a militia.
They have never called themselves militia.
Well, I know. But she said, but they have, they have. I said, no, haven't you just heard that through the mainstream press? Wasn't that an AP release? Well, no, no, they say they're a militia. I said, look, if you want to do this right, what you do is you go and you pull the statute from the state of Montana that defines the militia. All the states have the definition, usually in 25 words or less, and you say, okay, well, here's what the state says is the definition of militia. These people say they are one, but I guess they're not. And then you just say that publicly on the news.
Yeah.
That was too much work for her.
Oh, well, really, what I would have done is I would have said, well, since you know that they have said that they are the militia, maybe you can produce that quote on tape or in writing where they specifically are quoted verbatim as saying that they are the militia. And I'll bet you in 100 years you won't find that because it's never happened. And that usually puts the binders on it because they're saying things that they know are not true, because that's what they're supposed to do, is promote a political agenda.
Yes, one of the biggest subject matters that I've been trying to push around here through the media is that we are not advocating the violent overthrow of any government.
No, that is not the purpose of the militia. The purpose of the militia is to uphold the government, the supreme law of the land, enforce the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, repel invasion, and it's the people's last line of defense against a government who would overthrow the supreme law of the land and become oppressive or dictatorial.
Right. When Jerry Bonin of KTOK radio was interviewing me yesterday, and he said, well, Major Moore, then I guess you would have to say that you are not an anti-government group. And when I told him that I was not an anti-government group favoring the overthrow, especially the violent overthrow of our government, he just about lost it and had a little bit of trouble recovering thereafter. Because they really do expect everybody to, you know, say, down with the leftist pigs and this sort of thing. And they may be leftist pigs, but we have a system under which we operate at this time, and I personally am not ready yet to deal with anarchy. I think that there are a lot of stages and steps we can take in between now and that, should it ever occur. Anarchy is not my first choice ever.
Anarchy is just as bad as total, complete despotism.
Yes. yes, it is.
It's the opposite extreme. It's where if I like your hair and I want it, I can just chop your head off and take your hair, and nobody cares, because that's what anarchy is you do what you want to do when you can, and if nobody's strong enough to prevent it, you prevail.
Right. Well, I think if people would stop and think a minute before they open their mouths to the press.
That's the second time tonight somebody has dared to assume that the sheeple can think. And it really is making me angry.
I'm sorry, Bill. I don't want to make you angry. I'm just an eternal optimist, yes. You know, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I just, I don't want to expect the worst. But really, the minute that somebody brings up a legitimate argument like, you know, the IRS is not legit, or the Federal Reserve is not federal, all these things that we know to be true and have seen proven in the documents, automatically you're classified as an anti-government group, and the media equate that with violent overthrow. And we've got to make this clear. And the militias that are out there that are legit have got to establish some kind of a public information system where we answer these baloney claims that the medias make, these blatant generalizations that they make about us, and just answer them.
Well, we do that. Our organization does that.
Well, I know.
And there are a few other organizations who are beginning to do that. And I'm going to read one of those press releases tonight, too. Hold on, Michelle. I'll be right back.
Okay.
But I don't know why. But I've made my plans already. I've been troubling it all my life. The world is out there, they come and go. I give all my strength to be back home. Is there my future?
This was the CBS News on March the 26th, ladies and gentlemen. They led off the nightly TV news about an item about the Freeman in Montana. The report mentioned that the Freeman are threatening the feds, and so on and so forth. We've all heard the rhetoric. But one interesting thing the report mentioned is that the Freeman are said to have threatened to blow up a commercial aircraft. The interview recently of Stuart Webb with Brother Stare on shortwave mentioned that the powers that be are threatening to blow up an aircraft between April the 17th and 19th, and they will blame the militia and patriots. Well, we know that Stuart Webb is a disinformation agent. He was caught in the act a couple of times and totally discredited, and we know that he's a fake. But doesn't it seem odd that he and CBS News mentioned exactly the same thing? Perhaps we're gonna hear some more about that, but I wanted you to know about that before we go on. Michelle, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. Well, you find that interesting?
I do indeed. I've always found the disinformation of Stuart Webb somewhat entertaining. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, him and his friend Trenton Parker.
Well, they seem to certainly be tuned in, plugged in to another information source, and. Well, I can't make any speculations about it, but I don't trust the guy. I don't trust him as far as I could throw him, and I'm not very strong. Well, I don't mean to tie up your phone line when there are other callers who are going to call in, but I did want to say that in Oklahoma,
Right now, we're dealing with a situation that is reaching the point of hysteria with the media and the militias, because all of a sudden they've been confronted with, here's the definition of militia, here's what the duties of militia are, and here's how they legally and lawfully exist and what they do. And at the same time, they're being confronted with a lot of little splinter groups or wannabes or people who are genuinely concerned but haven't yet really organized properly, calling themselves militia, making statements or being interviewed, and they don't know how to deal with the press, and they don't really know what to say, and they haven't done their homework. And some of the people from the press I've talked to are genuinely concerned about this confusion, and they want to see it resolved. Others don't really care. The ones that want to see it resolved, all I can do is refer them back to the law, and they're not really going to deal with that. So I would just encourage the people that are forming militias and trying to get established right to look into their state constitutions and their state statutes so that you have a 25-word or less explanation for who you are and what you do that doesn't touch upon your grievances. Your grievances are separate from the definition of why and how you exist.
Well, that's what a lot of these people don't understand, Michelle, is the militia has absolutely nothing to do with their grievances or their religion,
right,
or anything else that they do. When they meet as a militia, it is as a military organization formed under the laws of the state and of the United States for a specific purpose, and has nothing to do with a religious purpose. It has nothing to do with the Federal Reserve isn't federal, or the IRS isn't operating within the law, or any of that stuff. You cannot even bring that into the militia. It has nothing to do with the militia.
Right. And one of the big things floating here right now is over in Harper County, there has been a group of people about a year ago formed, called themselves the Freemen, have set up two or three different totally segregated, meaning separate from our system, Supreme Courts of their own. Not even part of the common law court.
I know. These people are crazy. They're wackos.
Well, yeah, they are. But the media is confused. They think that they are us. They think that they are the Freemen in Montana, and they're lumping us all in this big ball of wax. And outside of the Freemen in Montana, here's the feds. And so all of us are now becoming the enemy.
You know how to put them on the spot?
What do you recommend, Bill?
Oh, it's very easy. They say, well, you're the press, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
They say, yes. Pull out a copy of the spotlight and say, well, this is the press, isn't it? They say, yes. I said, well, you're the same people. Watch them turn apoplectic and fall right out of their chair.
Oh, God.
Because that's what you have to do. You have to put it in perspective.
Well, I think we gave a few people apoplexy over the past 24 hours around here.
I'm sure you did.
It's going to be all right. But people have got to understand their foundation in the law, separate it out from their beefs, and then when they have their beefs, get whoever your best public speaker is in your group to clearly outline those things so they can be presented coherently, logically, and then documented to the press if the press should ask.
Yes, and it's also important that they know the history of the militia, and
yes,
that they have a foundation in the statements about the militia and the intent of the founding fathers when they put the Second Article Amendment in the Bill of Rights, and when they made specific allowance for the militia to exist in this country.
Well, yes, and an issue too that often comes up here with our media are the different groups that call themselves militias that are really just church groups or people who are grouped around one particular political perspective or one particular
politics. Politics does not belong in a militia. Race does not belong in a militia.
Well, that's what I told them. I said, you just can't have your little vigilante groups going around saying, you got to believe what I believe or you're the enemy.
Well, you know, in my estimation, that makes them the enemy when they do that. Because if I don't look like them, or if I don't go to the same church they go to, if they ever came to power, they're going to tie me to a stake and pile faggots around my feet and set them on fire. That's what people like that do if they actually get into power.
What I told ABC today when we were discussing that issue was that as soon as a group does that, they have put themselves outside of our constitutional guidelines where everybody has the same constitutionally protected rights, and at that point they become the arms band of dissidents who wants everybody to think like they think. And you can't protect that. You can't support that. Because for me to say that, well, I'm a female and you're a male, therefore you're the enemy, if we were going to draw the line there, or somebody has blonde hair and I have brunette hair and we draw the line there. You can't do that. It's got to be based on some overall scheme of things, the scheme being the constitutional guidelines under which we live. When we step outside of that, then I assume that we would be in a state of insurrection.
You're absolutely correct. And the militia cannot be an insurrection. Militia cannot...
It's supposed to repel.
That's right. The militia cannot be the invader, cannot be the insurrectionist. The militia cannot break the laws of the Union because the purpose of the militia is to protect and enforce and take care of those things.
Well, if people need to just sit down a minute and take a deep breath and think through what they're doing.
You did it again.
Well, I'm going to give them credit, Bill. I'm going to say that they can think, and I'm going to believe with all my heart that they can be logical for maybe 2 seconds, long enough to just say, okay, this is what we stand for. These are our guidelines. This is our legal standing. Here are our grievances. Keep them all separate. Keep them all categorized. Come up with short, little, clear, concise statements and move out from there.
That's right.
Otherwise, it's all just a big jumbled mess and we're in trouble.
That's correct. Militia meetings have to be meetings for the purpose of the military training and preparation of the militia to do its constitutional duty. Religious meetings cannot be convened in a militia meeting, and neither can political meetings, and neither can... speeches about the Federal Reserve and all this other stuff. It has no bearing whatsoever.
Everything has its proper time and place.
That's right.
Well, I better clear your line. I've monopolized it far too long, but I sure appreciate talking to you, Bill.
Well, I thank you for calling in and contributing.
Well, you have a great evening, and God bless everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay, I'm going to read you a press release from the White Mountain Militia Information Service. This is a press release which was made on the 28th of March. The Freemen of Montana is a common law advocacy group. The members of the group are alleged by federal authorities to have violated a series of statutes, the most serious of which include mail fraud and forgery. The group has created a common law township known as Just Us in Montana State. Local authorities requested federal intervention. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, employing approximately 200 state, local, and federal officers, have taken up positions surrounding the township. The leader of the group, Leroy Schweitzer, and at least one associate have been taken into custody. At least 8 remaining members are negotiating with federal agents regarding the terms of their surrender. Schweitzer has refused to be arraigned because the process of arraignment will place him under the jurisdiction of the federal court system. According to the Freeman, Schweitzer will only accept common law venue and adjudication and will not submit to the authority of the government court. Those involved with the Freeman and well-versed in the principles of common law suggest that the contemporary court system is not constitutional and have for many years sought remedies within the modern system to no avail. A number of New England-based militia organizations have contacted this office and requested that we furnish a press release on this situation. Among the groups we have spoken with are White Mountain Militia, the Hillsboro Dragoons, New Hampshire Shield, Rogers Rangers, the John Stark Free Militia, and the Granite State Irregulars. Numerous other non-aligned lawful militia members, as described under Title 10, Section 311 of United States Code, also support this position. At present, we are cautiously optimistic that the federal authorities will maintain the current approach to the Freeman Group. A number of us have spoken with local FBI representatives and assured them that provided due process, an appropriate warrant service, and arrest procedures were undertaken, that we would support their effort to take the Freeman into custody. They will have their day in court. The military seizures undertaken at Waco, Texas, and Ruby Ridge, Idaho, employed unacceptable military tactics, all too common in law enforcement today. Militia leaders concur that our lawful role includes the protection of life, liberty, and property. Groups across the country are observing the behavior of law enforcement agencies and have agreed that another Waco-like event cannot be permitted. The Court of Public Opinion supports this position. Lawful militia do not and will not support those who break the law. We do not condone the threatening of elected or appointed officials. Our apolitical role is to defend and protect the Constitution for the United States and the several states, suppress insurrection, and enforce the laws of the Union. The activities of the freemen will bring the principles of the common law into the arena of ideas. Many militia activists support the reinvigoration of the common law as one aspect of the necessary return to constitutionally sound government. It is important to recognize that individuals can perform militia duties and engage in other forms of lawful, aggressive political action. Once outside the bounds of the law, they are subject to its enforcement. Provided law enforcement personnel properly execute warrant service and use force only to meet force, the militia will not interfere with the process. We will, however, monitor such situations and report our findings to the press. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. While the freemen have some valuable ideas, they cannot expect our support for any scheme of self-aggrandizement or profit they may have undertaken. As details become available, we will issue further statements. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yes.
Florida.
Hello.
First time caller. Did you have the opportunity to watch Crossfire tonight?
No, I didn't.
You might want to set your VCR. It's on 1 a.m. Pacific time.
I need you to talk a lot louder.
You might want to set your VCR to copy that at 1 a.m. Pacific time. You are mentioned in there and quoted. Allegedly quoted, let's put it that way.
Oh, really? What did they say?
Well, the instructions you gave for the Second Continental Army of the Republic, the entire quote was not given, as I recall you giving it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But enough of it was given to cast an evil eye towards you, you might say, as being these kind of individuals out here in the hinterland who are raising hell and hating this country.
And what's the name of it?
Crossfire.
Oh, Crossfire. Well, that's with Michael, what's his name, Kinsley?
Kinsley wasn't on there. I don't know which.
The No-No? I mean, Sununu?
No, Sununu wasn't on there either.
Well, who was on there?
Kovacs is the one from taking the stand on the right, as it were. And I don't know the gentleman they had on there taking up the commie side. But he was the one that quoted you.
Uh-huh.
And I thought you might...
Well, if he didn't quote me accurately, and he cast an aspersion on my character, I will sue the nasty little scumbag socialist puke pig.
Let's put it this way. When you tape it, it's going to be obvious you were not cast in a good light.
Well, that's okay. I have on tape what I said, and if he did not quote what I said properly, then I'll sue him.
Second question. You have admonished us many times to believe nothing until you check it out.
That's correct.
Now, I don't wish to toss you a curve, but I got to ask you a question concerning the Second Continental Army of the Republic.
Yes.
How would we check this out?
How would you check what out?
The existence thereof. The only person I know of who's involved in it is you.
That's not true. You just heard the commander of four states speaking. Her name is Michelle Moore.
I just thought she was your section chief down in...
She's the station chief for the intelligence service for the Second Continental Army of the Republic. She is a commissioned officer. She is a major. She commands four states.
Okay. Are there any...
She has quite a few people under her command.
Okay. Are there any documentation, or is there any documentation that we could check on this individually?
Are you kidding? We are not John Trockman or the people that you see drug across the 6 o'clock news.
Right. I understand.
We exist for the purpose of restoring government when and if the time comes that we have to do that.
Okay. All righty. I thank you kindly.
You're welcome.
Wish yourself a good evening. Enjoy Crossfire.
Thank you. And thank you for your call. Okay, here's a press release, immediate release. Northern Michigan Regional Militia. And this is put out by Norman E. Olson, calls himself the commander. He was relieved of his command when he made some tremendously stupid mistakes right after the Oklahoma City bombing and actually blamed that bombing upon the Japanese. Norm Olson is not a commander of the Michigan militia in any capacity.
whatsoever, I can assure you, but he claims to be. And he put out this press release. Militia leader accuses feds of intent to murder in Montana siege, accuses media of manufacturing public consent to begin the attack. Well, he's right about the media manufacturing public sympathy against the freemen and against the militia and against patriots and in favor of the socialist communists that are trying to subvert this government and take over and create their one world government. But so far, the feds have shown no intent whatsoever to murder anyone in this in Montana. They have shown great restraint. They have conducted themselves, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the Second Continental Army, the Republic is concerned, and many other people, admirably. And it's a great relief to see them doing so after the atrocities and the massacres and the murders and the crimes that they have committed in the past. Norm Olson is calling for all militia to go to Montana. And I'm telling you right now, if you listen to Norm Olson, you're nuts. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Lex in Fort Worth.
Hi.
The transmission faded out after Michelle hung up, so I hope I'm not answering a question someone else has already answered. Regarding those covenant communities, I'm going to assume that she is talking about the covenant communities advertised on Bo Greitz's program, which I occasionally listen to. I think it comes on at 1 a.m.
Well, she may not have been, but if you want to speak specifically about that covenant community and you have something that you can illuminate us with, you'll have to hurry because we're out of time.
Nope, that was it. I just know that there is a group by that name that's advertised on Bo Greitz's show, and the information number is the same as the spike training that he conducts. That's about all I know of it, but I'd add that if it would help any.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
I'll try. I have here, folks, another press release. An Internal Revenue Service employee secretly videotaped other men showering at an upscale Oakland, California athletic club, and he's facing charges of eavesdropping, police said Monday. But it took authorities 3 months to figure out what crime Howard A. Baltazer had committed, and he could avoid any jail time even if convicted. Even though the victims were unknowingly filmed nude, the taping itself apparently violated no laws, police said. I can't believe that, folks. Can you? I think there's definitely laws against taping people in the nude, especially to try to collect income tax. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you.
There's no reason for you to lose your mind, 'cause I've seen something that's gonna change our time. If I could, I'd make you understand. If I